Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Well, hello and welcome to another episode of
Fingers on Buzzers.
Switched it up. I did the singing, she did the talking. Let's go back to the other way though, because I preferred that vastly. Thanks for coming, guys, to this intervention.
Whatever this TED talk
to
about interventions,
thrilling,
about Ken Bruce obsessions.
Thrilling intervention for, it's my my addiction to quiz show hosts like Ken Bruce. That's yeah. What it is. That's what we're intervening in. Mm. It's another packed episode of Fingers on Buzzers. We have a spectacular guest who's done so much. He's such an experienced man. And he will be coming up later. Before that, I'm going to give you a little quiz as a clue.
Quiz as a clue?
A quiz as a clue to who he might be. Should I do that? I am going to give you a statistic to guess.
Okay.
The Register of the International Time Capsule Society estimates that there are between 10,000 and 15,000 time capsules worldwide. But an estimated how many percent of time capsules are lost track of by the fifth anniversary of their burial?
Oh, wow.
Within 5 years, how many people have gone, oh, God, no, I put that, I know, yeah, put it somewhere.
These are official ones, not ones you've just bunged in your back garden, because I'm sure those all get forgotten until you move house.
I think these are sort of municipally ordained the public library.
I'm going to go 15%.
95%
what?
Of time capsules. This is the International Time Capsule Society, guys. You can't argue with this statistic.
But that feels like they're admitting a great deal of fault on their own part. Whatever guidance they issue to people who want to install a time capsule is... What are they telling? Just bung it anywhere.
You'll probably remember,
it'll
guys.
Be fine. Yeah.
I can't even remember where I've left my glasses half the time, let alone something I've buried 5 years ago. So here's another little story, which I've turned into a quiz. In 2017, New York City evacuated a large area because of a bombshell that was found. They thought it was a World War II unexploded bomb, but it was actually buried in 1984 by the Danceteria nightclub. And my questions to you are, in what year did they intend for the time capsule to be dug up? So it was buried in 2017. When did they think that people were going to dig it up?
2017 to 2087.
Yeah, that would have been a sensible time frame.
Yeah.
6,984 was when they, like...
I feel my guess was quite ambitious for human survival.
Yes. Did they know in 2017 the world which we would be inheriting? I mean, they would have said dig it up in 3 years. Pre-pandemic, you might need it.
Next week.
Yeah. And then a bonus question. It contained artworks, a G-string, and a pair of false eyelashes belonging to which Motown singer?
Diana Ross.
It was. Oh, Diana Ross's false eyelashes.
Lovely.
But yeah, so they dug it up in 2017 anyway. So I hope she's got her eyelashes back. That's all I can say. One of the most famous time capsules that got dug up at the wrong time was the Blue Peter time capsule that they put under the Millennium Dome in a ceremony in June 1998. So it was meant to be dug up in 2050. It did not get dug up in 2050.
No.
When did it get dug up?
1998.
No, it did last a bit longer, actually. Oh. So, yeah, it was meant to be dug up in 2050, but it actually got dug up in 2017. 2017 was a big year for discovering time capsules.
It was.
There's a lot of work going on.
Did everyone get metal detectors that year for Christmas?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe yeah. There was some great digging frenzy. So the capsule was put under the Millennium Dome, and it contained items that had been suggested by Blue Peter viewers, along with a Blue Peter guide, some badges and a CD-ROM. The winning entries for things to included rollerblade wheels, an asthma inhaler, dolls of which popular TV kids show? This was massive in 1998.
Teletubbies?
Yes, well done. A 1998 World Cup football, presumably from the place where the World Cup was held in 1998.
France.
A photo of which member of the royal family?
Prince William.
No, Princess Diana. Controversial.
Oh, it was still Diana fever then, though, wasn't it?
It was. A picture of a dove to symbolise what that had recently happened?
Birds. Bird flu.
Bird flu. Peace in?
Northern Ireland.
Yes, and a Roald Dahl book. And there was a CD by a popular band of the time. Who would that have been? 1998.
Spice Girls.
Yes!
Come on.
Spice Girls CD. And then, so it was dug up in 2017 accidentally by workers at the Millennium Dome. And the contents were returned to Blue Peter, but the Spice Girls CD was never found.
Oh, one of those construction workers had a lovely time on their way home in the
it
van.
Be my lover. Here, Dave, stick on two, become one. Yeah, that's what was happening there. So that is a little quiz about time capsules.
Oh.
Who could I guess be?
Some capsule dude.
Yes, maybe somebody who hosts an incredibly successful podcast called My Time Capsule. It's Michael Fenton-Stevens.
Yeah. Do you know what I was going to say, Jen, is that we have never had an unpleasant person on this podcast, right?
No.
And I know that sounds like I'm building up saying, but we're breaking that up today, but I'm not. We have one of the loveliest men in the entire world. It is the wonderful Michael Fenton-Stevens.
Oh, shut your face, you old bitch.
Yeah, good. That's what I need. Bring me back down to earth. Now, normally you would be residing in the beautiful Kent countryside, of course, but yes. Not at the moment. Where are you speaking to us from now?
Well, I'm hiding in a hotel room in Guadeloupe in the Caribbean. I'm filming Death in Paradise. which is jolly good fun, you know. I've been here for 2 weeks. I've done 3 days' work, and I'm going to fly home either tomorrow or Thursday, because I've got one scene left, and they want me to come back at the beginning of August to film it. And they did say to me, "Would you like to stay for the whole time? Just stay here. Just emigrate." You
know? And, yes. Start a new life in the sun.
I can't see my lovely wife, who I have to say right from the start, she is the person you should be having on this podcast, not me.
Oh, is she the brains of the operation?
She is the brains, always the brains of the operation in every way. She is a PhD doctor of biochemistry. She ran a bookshop for quite a long time. She largely single-handedly brought up two lovely children. She's now a part-time carer for our gorgeous grandchildren, and she is also a QI elf.
That is incredible. What is she doing slamming it with you?
she knows that I'm going to go away quite often.
Yeah, being married to an actor has its perks, doesn't it? I wanted to start off by doing a little quiz with you. Obviously, now you are a massively successful podcaster, but you have for many years been a brilliant comedy writer and performer and actor. And mm-hmm. I was just ahead of our chat, just thinking, I'll just remind myself about Mike's CV. And it is phenomenal. It is like the phone book. Like, you've been in absolutely everything. And I thought it was a little fun way.
I'm able to keep a podcast going because I just call in lots and lots of favours.
Because you've worked with everybody in the entire world. I mean, so I thought what I'd do as a way of introduction is I've done a little quiz where I've looked at your CV.
Doing this job? Is that what you
mean? It is, because my husband is also an actor of long standing, and it is very funny that, so what I've done is I've got a show you were in, the year you were in it, and the name of your character in that show. I am going to give you the year and the character name, and you have to tell me what the show was.
I'm going to stay silent. never heard of the man.
Never heard of it.
You could even quote lines at me and I'd sort of no idea what you're talking about.
Well, when you've done this many things, but you never know, something might have stuck. So 1995, you played a character called Jeffrey Croker in which show?
Oh my God. I did play a Jeffrey Croker.
You did.
1995.
A massively successful comedy show, one of my all-time favourites.
Was it Nighty Night?
It was not Nighty Night. Mm. You would have been Reverend someone in that, wouldn't you?
I was the Reverend, but I wondered if his name was Jeffrey. No.
No.
All I remember is the name of my wife. She was Sue. She was Sue too.
Sue too,
yes. Another Sue before
that. That's right. Jeffrey Croker, 1995, shall I tell you?
Yeah, tell me, go on.
It was One Foot in the Grave.
Oh, my word.
Oh, I should have had a guess at that.
I'm Pippa's brother in that character. That's who I am. Yes, which is Janine Davidsky. I walked around a lot in a towel.
You remember all the important bits then?
Yeah, 1995, you know, I didn't look bad in a towel.
A lot of towel work in 95,
Now, okay. There would need to be an enormous bath towel.
So in Death in Paradise, in the Caribbean, you're fully covered, are you?
I am, just about, yeah.
1988, you were in The Bill. Of course you were. Can you remember the name of your character or even just their...
Crime.
Yeah, what did you get banged up for?
Bad acting.
your character was called...
I played a most unlikely, I know exactly what it was, I played a most unlikely university lecturer who lectured in sort of digital communication, something like that.
Yes, you were Professor Wallace.
Nice.
Fabulous. There you go. Okay, I'm going to ask you next. The Britas Empire, 97.
Oh, yeah.
Can you recall the name of your character in that?
No, not at all.
That is the harder way around to do it. That was Roger Ferguson.
It's very difficult. When you go in and you do an episode, and it seems that obviously I've done an episode in loads and loads of things. Can bear me for a week. Then they've got to get rid of me.
You're like a strong seasoning. All you need is a tiny amount just to completely punch the dish up and make it delicious.
Oh, right, yeah. Particularly around that time, I played lots of slightly snooty sort of men in suits who sort of walked in and was trying to, you know, change everything and sort of go, oh, really? That's how you do it.
Called Roger.
Yes.
Yeah.
Roger.
Yeah, a lot of Rogers, I would say.
Well, speaking of which, in 2010... You played a character called Mr. Sour Grapes.
I did.
Can you remember what that was in? It was a CBBC show.
Was it Hotel Trouble?
Yes.
Ah,
that's the one.
Yeah.
Lovely.
See, my short-term memory is quite good, obviously. But
Can you remember 2005?
Yeah.
You played a character called Tim Mortimer in an outstanding drama, one of the great dramas of our ages, I would say. I'll show you what it is, Jen.
Oh, my goodness.
I think it was ITV, wasn't it?
It was ITV. It's a cult classic now as well.
It is. Mm. So it was very dramatic and lots
almost overly dramatic, I would say.
Yeah. So Tim Mortimer, it revolves around Earls Park FC.
Ah, yes. Okay, right. Then I was in... What's his name? Somebody manager. England manager.
No, that's not the one we're thinking of, but you probably were in that as well. I love the fact that there's about five options. So the one with Ricky Tomlinson, was that the one? The
England Mike Bassett, England manager. Yeah, no, it's not. That's not what we're thinking of.
A whole series of that, you know, and I can't even remember what it's called.
Footballers' Wives was 2005.
Oh, do you know, that's a brilliant one, Footballers' Wives. It's funny how you almost forget things. Well, clearly I forget all of them. But, but Footballers' Wives, I played a vicar, because I played quite a number of vicars in my life. But this was a vicar who believed that through the power of prayer, you could cure people of homosexuality.
Oh,
that's quite a storyline, isn't
it? It's very topical.
One of the footballers was in... He felt that he knew he was gay, but he couldn't come out because he thought he'd be derided by the rest of his team. So mm-hmm. he came to me and hoped that through prayer, I would save him. He couldn't take it anymore. And he went to a gay sauna. He walked into the sauna, into the steam room. It was full of writhing bodies. As he approached the writhing bodies, from the middle of it, I popped up.
Amazing! Yay. That's brilliant.
More strong towel work, I would think.
Yes. If you wanted someone in a towel, you'd call Benton Stevens, definitely.
And tongues, you know. I've never been too ashamed. A man said, we really do need to see that this is passionate, the director said. So he said, you really have to kiss this man, you know, properly. And I said, yeah, I don't mind that.
Lovely.
He said, but it's all right, I've found you a gay one. I've never been, nobody's ever said anything like that to me before. And I said, what help is that? That was the actual phrase he used. I found you a gay one.
This is bringing up more questions than it's answering, isn't it? Extraordinary.
That's weird, isn't it?
Behind the scenes Footballers' Wives. I love this.
He was a lovely bloke. And, you know, I said, I'm terribly sorry. You know, you have to kiss an old man like me. And he said, that's all right. I don't mind. And we just got on with it, you know.
Special.
I've done some good kissing in my time. I snogged Olivia Colman for about 4 hours once.
Did you? On screen or?
Tongues. On film,
What was that in?
Look Around You.
This is brilliant. Yeah. Gosh.
And I played a man who, right at the end of it, she says, what are the trophies for? And I said, I'm the world's French kissing champion. And she said, right. Does that mean you're very good at it? I said, well, yeah, I'm the world champion. I said, would you like me to demonstrate? And she said, okay, then. We just stood up and we seriously... heavily French kissed for a good 35 seconds, at least that long. Brilliant program, Look Around. You had my favorite line I've ever done at the beginning of a sketch. He said, I was sitting there and in a desk, and a man took a piece of paper from me and walked to the door, knocked on it, and I said, go out.
Many lovely little touches in that show. It's amazing. If people haven't seen it, they should look that one up. Should we do one more? Let's do, in the year 2000, you played another one of your many vicars. I don't know if you're in a towel or not, but it was Reverend Adam Cherry.
Cherry, I know who that is. It's EastEnders.
It is.
I buried Ethel.
Lovely Ethel.
And I said to him, surely she should be dead first.
Let's talk about you and Quiz. So obviously your wife is the intellectual in the family, but how do you acquit yourself in a pub quiz or any other quiz?
I'm one of those sort of things come out of the back of my brain that I didn't know were there. Somebody said to me the other day, do you know about everything? And I said, no. What are you talking about? They said, everything that anybody ever mentions on the podcast, you say, oh, yeah, that was such and such, and I sort of have a fact about it or a thing that I know about it.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's completely true, because somebody the other day, I spoke to a lovely comedian, Joe Wells, and he started talking to me about hip-hop. And I said, you've lost me already. I have no idea what you're talking about. But actually, then he talked about it, and I did know about some of the songs, and I did know the groups. So you do surprise yourself, don't you, in life, that you pick up things. But I love pub quizzes. The role that I didn't get in my career that I would have loved to have got was Simon Pegg wrote a really, really funny sitcom about a pub quiz team. And I auditioned three times for him and Nick, and they said, yeah, you've got the part, but we're not sure when we're doing it. We've got to make a film first. And I said, okay, great. Yeah, when you come back, I'm here. And I was, the part was the quizmaster. So I would have been the sort of slightly pompous and over fastidious man who sort of went, no, you can't have a point for that.
We've all met those. Yep. Yeah.
You know those. Yeah. They're always like that. And I was really looking forward to it. But he also said the great thing about the part was that he was slightly theatrical. He sort of, it was his one time of the week where he was able to show off.
Yeah.
And it was a great role. And then they went off and made their film, which I think was the one with all the zombies in it. And then they became international film stars and never came back and made a sitcom.
The script still exists. So,
it still exists somewhere.
We've all known things that have been 20 years in the making or even longer. So you never know.
Yeah. I think that now I'd be playing the old man in the corner of the pub.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I wonder if, because we were talking, you know, about being an actor and you remember, so you remember like a massive speech for EastEnders and the way that an actor's memory works, because people always say the first question to any actor is, oh, how do you remember your lines? Mm. But I do find it interesting that it is like you can remember stuff about jobs you've worked on, but you wouldn't remember the character name or whatever. Or, do you think that has an effect on the way your memory works, the way that you use it for your job?
Yeah, I think that you do that very short-term thing, which is you put it in your head, and then the moment you've finished, you discard it. So you clear it from your brain, as it were. So, yeah, I do have a very good memory for all sorts of things, actually, but mostly about my life, not about my work.
Yeah.
I can remember holidays in enormous detail. I can remember kids' school plays and things like that. And I can remember going to the park. I can remember the day, the time, what we did, the games we played, those things. I mean, in a way, they've always been the thing that I've rushed home for. And the work has been the thing that I've gone, we're not finished yet. Can I go?
Yes. I know, but that's the healthy way to approach life, isn't it? Have you ever been asked to do any of the TV quiz shows?
No, never. No,
well, that will change.
I'm not a. No, I've never seen myself in the celebrity mold. They like to use people who they think are famous in those things, and I don't see myself as famous. I see myself as having had a nice career where I've done lots of things over a number of years. If I get stopped in the street or if people wave at me, they always say the same thing, which is they just shout groovy. And it's because I was the head of the groovy gang in Only Fools and Horses, what, 36, 37 years ago?
Yes.
And it's bizarre, isn't it?
Can you remember the name of that character by any chance?
Alan Perkins.
Yes. Well, Dan, extra point. You're still getting points in this quiz, so you're doing well. If you did have to nominate a specialist subject for Mastermind, we always ask people what that would be. Anything that springs to mind, or either something you know a lot about already or something you would love to go into detail and find out about?
I think the thing, if I wanted to go back and really study it, I really am fascinated by the Normandy landings. Strange, but everybody has their sort of little thing. But I do find it extraordinary, and I find every story in it incredibly compelling and extraordinary, amazing that those people did those things. There's a book called Six Armies in Normandy by John Keegan, and it's a really brilliant book, and it looks at all the six armies who fought in the Normandy invasion, including, of course, the German army and the mistakes they made and how they were held up by the lack of supplies and things, and how close they were to driving all the armies back out again. You know, just tiny little things that turn the war.
Do you know, I wish I had prepared a quiz about the Normandy landings, but I have not done that. But I have got another little quiz for you, which is to do with your fabulously successful and fabulous podcast, My Time Capsule.
Okay.
Which you celebrated your 300th episode this year.
I did.
Wow. Yeah, congratulations.
Dave Gorman. And I, we did a live recording.
Very good quizzer. Very good quizzer. Mm.
And he was fascinating. There have not been many people that I've spoken to who haven't been fascinating. And I think it's, in a way, it's the trick of the thing, is I ask people to put 5 minute things in a time capsule. And so I'm asking people to choose 5 things from their life that they really, really care about. Well, 4 that they really care about and 1 that they want to put in there and forget. When you actually say that to people, they go, yeah, I can think of some funny stories, Mike. And then they start thinking about it and they put in things that they really do care about.
Yeah.
And so they're talking about things they love. And I can't see how that's not going to be interesting.
I know. And I mean, the caliber of guests that you've had have been brilliant. So you've got, you know, huge names, starting with Stephen Fry, and you've had Sir David Jason on. Also, I listen to it sometimes and it is someone that I don't know so well, but you do draw out really amazing stuff from them.
I love talking to people I just have never met before. I have no idea who they are. And I think it's really fascinating to hear these stories. Everybody's got amazing things they can tell you about, even if they're very simple. I think even if it's not important, it's not momentous, because they really care about it, you get completely drawn into it.
You are always coming up with really interesting stories from your life as well, which I think really helps people open up. So because you've done so much, you've always got some little thing where you can relate, or, you know, you feel, when you talk to you, you feel like, well, you know what you're talking about.
I think that's true of nearly everybody, that actually, if you think about it and you take time to think through what you've done. And I'm often reminded of things that I've completely forgotten in my life. I was going to give you a quiz fact, which is the line, Ringo Starr isn't the best drummer in the world. Well, he may not even be the best drummer in the Beatles. That line that everybody for many years has attributed to John Lennon.
Absolutely.
I said it.
Wow. Original Fenton Stephen.
It's my line. It was written by Jeffrey Perkins, and we did it in a sketch in Radioactive in 1982. And all the Beatles lunatics who are out there will look into every detail of it and followed it through and said it is the only mention of it.
Wow.
That's the only time, that was the first time it was ever mentioned.
And did you remember that?
I remember doing the joke, yeah. I did ask my wife also, look, Lucy, because I thought, you know, I'll take the burden off you a bit. I asked my wife, what have you found out recently? She sent me some. Do you want to hear some?
Yes,
please.
Mush Faker, that means a travelling umbrella repairman.
That's a great name. Yeah.
Slightly to do with where I am. I think it's gaudiloquent, but I like to say gaudiloquent because I'm in Guadeloupe.
Yeah.
means speaking with joy.
Oh wow. Nice, that's lovely. Yeah.
Some facts. A male spider mite will undress a female before mating by pulling off her exoskeleton.
That's the way I want to be treated. Yeah.
This is really sweet. Dolphins use baby talk when they communicate with their calves.
Oh, little baby dolphin. That's the best impression of a baby dolphin I've heard for quite some time.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And then horrible facts. Humans inhale a credit card's amount of microplastic every week.
That's scary.
Yep.
That's good. Have I got any more? Yeah, I've got one. The general fear of sharks wasn't really a thing until the film Jaws came out in the 1970s.
Oh, did you know that makes such great sense. Oh, my gosh.
So people went swimming and never thought about it.
That's the kind of fact I love, where you go, it's so, you know, obvious, but it's that's so interesting. That's brilliant.
And the great thing about the whole research process that she goes through when she does this is she goes right back to sort of scientific papers and the source of all these informations. It's not sort of, you don't just look, tell me for something funny on Wikipedia. She does an enormous amount of reading to get down to that little fact.
Mm-hmm. Oh, those QI elves, I mean, they really are, they're in the fact mines and they are really, you know, working hard, right?
Yeah, this is good. Both male and female Romans, ancient Romans from ancient Roman time, removed all of their body hair. It was done by a professional hair remover, one hair at a time with a pair of tweezers.
Oh,
delightful. What a job.
Do you know, I had my eyebrows threaded in Superdrug and I cried. So this is clearly I was born in the right era. Definitely. Those are amazing facts, right?
Aren't they good, aren't they?
They're so good.
One more. This is lovely. In 2012, Japanese astronaut Satoshi Furukawa built a Lego model of the International Space Station while he was on board the International Space Station.
Oh, that's an astronaut after my own heart. Yeah. That's the kind of thing I'd
do. Lovely, isn't it?
That's, they couldn't even look outside to get to see if, oh, I got that bit right. No,
working from memory.
Yeah, you got it.
Well, the great thing is I've realised by having asked my wife to do that this morning, I said, you got anything interesting I can tell Lucy? And she said, I don't know, like yesterday, and she gave me these things. And I realised that I never ask her that question.
Oh, lovely. We've sort of... Yeah. Brought you together, even though you are miles apart, with you being in the Caribbean.
Now, what did you find out today? Tell me.
I've just got a quiz for you. Because of all the amazing guests that you've had on your panel show, I wanted to quiz you about some of them and their connection to quiz. Episode one, you started off with Stephen Fry, who, of course...
does have some quiz connections.
One of the greatest hosts of all time. So 2003, obviously, QI started and is still very much going strong, helmed by the brilliant Sandy Toksvig. But for how many years did Stephen present that show? And I'm going to throw that to both of you. You can compete as well, Jen, if you want.
I filmed a television series with him and he'd just done the pilot. While we were in the back of the car going to location, he opened the newspaper and read the reviews of the pilot of QI.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to guess 17 years.
They do a letter per year of the alphabet, and he was still doing it when I did the J series.
Right.
That's the one I was involved in. And I think he did it for a couple of years after that. So I'm going to say 14 years.
Right.
Okay. Well, you were both a bit on the high side. It was actually 12 years. Sandy took over in 2015. Yeah. Still an amazing tenure. And it is still such a fantastic show. You know, you think, what? How many shows really have sustained that level of quality for that long? I mean, so few. It's brilliant. I'm going to take you now to episode 63, in which you talked to Andy Osho, the lovely Andy Osho. She's a writer, she's an actor, she's brilliant at everything she does. And she has won Mastermind twice. Firstly, in 2011, answering questions on The Matrix. And then in 2012, her specialist subject was a TV personality. Now, Jen, I know you know this one.
I think I know.
I'm going to freeze you out of this question. But so she's on Mastermind, Andy Osho, and she's picked a famous person to answer questions on. And I will give you a little clue. She's a comedian, so she did something with quite a funny, clever twist.
Now, that's confused me. I don't really know.
I would just say what you were going to say.
No, I was going to say Victoria Wood or Julie Waters. I would have thought she would.
Well, I did Victoria Wood, funnily enough, the last time I was on it. But what
you did.
I did, and it was a delight. But Andy Osho, the very brilliant thing she did was that she answered specialist questions on John Humphreys.
Do you know, I played John Humphreys. I know, what a weird world. Yes,
played him in?
I was a musical called Radio 4, the musical. And it was about them getting a new controller who wanted to basically change everything and destroy what everybody loved about Radio 4. He wanted to cancel Sailing Away and Sail Away or something.
Sailing By.
So it was very good. But I played John Humphreys in it and I had enormous fun.
When you started this podcast, I mean, you must have had no clue how it was going to go.
No, in fact, I really thought that it would be people coming on and telling me five funny stories. Mm. I thought that's what people would just gather together, five funny anecdotes and tell me them. Because, you know, I was talking to entertainers and they would just entertain. Mm. And it's amazing. I think it's amazing that people have a level of trust quite often that level of intimacy. I love doing it. It's fun, isn't it, podcasting? I think it's great.
Well, it is when we have guests like you, Mike. It really is. So here's to another 300 episodes of My Time Capsule, yeah. At least. I'd like to come back on and have a go now. Now I've listened to more, I understand it now. I'm like, I need to have another.
Well, that is an idea my son had. He said, we should get people back and say, have you changed your mind?
Yes.
Well, we could do. I'll talk to you about it. That'd be lovely. You're welcome anytime.
Oh, Michael Fenton Stevens, what a guy. I mean, he is full of stories, so worldly wise. I could listen to him talk all night.
Absolutely, but don't rely on him to remember the names of every show he's been in or any character.
No, clearly. No.
But he remembers the important, the warm details.
And luckily he's got his wife to actually look after him. Thank you, Michael's wife as well, because you did a lot of the heavy lifting.
The real star of the show, let's be honest.
I think she is. Before we go, I thought our Something Old, Something New feature, a little quick one.
Okay.
Today.
Cheeky.
Just because I have been watching In With A Shout on ITV with lovely Joel Dommett. Very tall man.
He's a tall man.
Lovely teeth. Nice fella. I remember him when he was just starting out, you know. And always
so
lovely.
Small.
Always
smaller
really
than.
Tiny little bean. He was a little bean. But anyway, it's a lovely show. The premise of it, for anyone who's not seen it, is that teams of people... It's three teams. I think it's three teams.
Three teams of people.
She's making this up as she goes along.
As
three
opposed
teams
to...
of people, rather than the dog-based shows that we dream of seeing.
I would, yeah. In With A Bark.
Money. In With A Bark.
Yeah. Spin-off.
By Joel Doggett.
Hey!
Joel Bassett. No, anyway. In With A Shout, basically, you get three teams and they each take turns in going up and they're surrounded by a bank of screens and they choose category. And things flash up on the screens that fit into that category. So one that was on a recent show was actors from James Bond movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so as they flash up, the contestant just shouts out what they can see.
Yes.
Very simple premise. Lovely, tricksy answers. So somebody chose tools.
Mm.
And some of the pictures were of chisels and plungers and things like that. But then they put up a picture of MC Hammer.
Ah,
which so
it's
there's
quite
little...
rude. It's not, he's not a tool.
He's not a tool.
He's,
oh,
he's a talented
no.
man.
He is. I'm offended on his behalf.
Yeah.
Now, but, I mean, you know.
Oh,
his name's
I see what
Hammer.
They did. Hammer.
Yeah.
Oh, right. They weren't dissing him.
Maybe okay. He is a tool. We simply don't know. That's it, really. Mm. That's the gameplay, is you just shout.
Just shout out. Shout out when you see the right thing.
And it's a bit of a risky one to discuss on a podcast because obviously I can't give you sample questions because they're all pictures.
Oh.
But... I did think we could take something from an older show.
Mm.
So I wish In With A Shout all the success in the world. Nice little catchphrases. If your mind starts flapping, just start yapping. That's it.
All right, okay.
Encouraging people just to shout out. There was a brilliant one, actually. My favourite round was Woman Picked Sweets and Biscuits.
Oh, I'd go for that.
Oh, she did brilliantly, but I did brilliantly. Like, you can see Joel Dummett was honestly impressed that she could identify a Yorkie unwrapped. And I was like, amateur, yeah. Mate, amateur.
Identify melted.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Just a crumb of a Yorkie. We would get. Anyway, it's a very good show. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's basically just shouting. And I thought, what other shows are there that encourage people to just shout things out?
Yes.
And I thought, well, give us a clue.
Oh, yes.
That was a lot of shouting went on there. Win, lose or draw.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Pictionary, essentially.
Parlour game. Shouting, living room thing.
So charades. But I've chosen a different show to take you back to, which is from 2010 to 2012. There was a show called Scream If You Know The Answer.
Ooh, put my arms in the air.
Yeah.
Like,
so
I just don't care.
People on a roller coaster, sometimes two celebrities, sometimes a celebrity and a not celebrity. And they would have to answer questions as they went round on a roller coaster. I mean, it's so much
Simple.
Fun. Duncan James hosted it. Colin Murray did the voiceover for it. It's a lot of fun. And I thought we could play a little round from it
here. Oh, yes, please.
Pretending we're on a roller coaster, okay? So
my arms are outside the car.
Yeah. Oh, look, I'm not even strapped in, mate. Don't even care.
Oh, my God.
I've had six milkshakes before I got on here. I didn't even think about it. So what we have to do is we have to go through the alphabet alternately, naming pop stars with each letter of the alphabet.
Okay.
And we'll do it and then I'll tell you how Ben Shepherd and his companion got on. Okay, you start.
Adam Ant.
Billy Bragg.
Carly Rae Jepsen.
Ooh. Oh, your mind went there straight away, didn't it?
It did. I'm not even on a roller coaster.
Dido, the opposite of Carly Rae Jepsen in many ways.
Eminem.
Yes. Fred West. Going to say Fred West. She was going to say Fred West. Why would that come into your head when you're thinking, it must be Freddie and the Dreamers. Is that allowed or does it have to be a solo artist?
Yeah, there's another Freddie you can go for.
Freddie Mercury. Oh, yeah.
Oh no, Gary Newman, not the other Gary. Yeah. That was going to say. This is already stressful and we're sitting on soft furnishings.
I'm actually tired now.
I'm tired.
Harry Styles. Oh, look, the roller coaster's gone into a more gentle phase now.
Oh, phew, because this is a tricky bit. Nicki Mosey.
Oh, that's next level stuff. That is... All right, then Ja Rule. We're going a little bit more obscure.
This is awful.
Yeah, should we stop
Let's stop. Because that's very stressful. And also quite hard work on the arms.
Yeah, it's quite hard work on the arms. I feel my Fitbit's going nuts.
I'm dizzy. That was worse than the chair.
That was about as well as the people on the actual roller coaster did. They managed to get to M.
Oh, nice.
And Madonna was the final answer. But yeah, poor Ben Shepherd actually swore.
Wow.
And I've never...
That was pre-patience.
Yeah.
Patient Ben Shepherd.
Well, ideal training.
Yeah.
Obviously for his current job.
Oh, he is one of the best huggers and one of the most patient hosts there is.
I know. Oh. Amazing. So you can check out on YouTube, Scream, if you know the answer, and you can see the real life version of what we just did.
Yeah.
But that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun.
I'm a little bit dizzy.
Yeah, I do. I feel a bit sick, right? Yeah. So let's end the episode. Thank you very much for listening to all of our nonsense. Thank you to the gorgeous Michael Fenton Stevens, and more importantly, his wife. And please join us next time for... Shall I sing or shall you sing or shall we both sing?
Shall we both sing, but we don't know what note we're singing? And
yeah,
what?
Great. Yeah,
okay.
For the next episode of
Fingers on Buzzers.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.